Please turn to the first verse of the New Testament, Matthew 1, verse 1. And we talk today about Jesus before there was time, Matthew 1, 1. The subject of Jesus is so powerful and so potent, we can talk about him before there was even time and have plenty to talk about. Matthew 1, 1. Says that this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I believe that God wants for our church to focus more on Jesus. I know it to be a fact, actually. Jesus Christ is the one we should be looking to. He's the one that we should lift up and look to him and live. Christ is the one that we should lift up in all that we preach. And so I believe that God wants us to focus more on his son, Jesus Christ, no matter the topic in our preaching. We should look at how it relates to Christ. What did Jesus say about it? What would Jesus do about it? A Christ-filled life is a self-emptied life, and it's the best life that we can ever live. So we need to preach and teach Jesus Christ more than anything else. It's what it's all about. This book is really a hymn book because it's all about him. And so we need to make sure that we relate it accurately in that way. Whatever master a man chooses will master that man. And you cannot serve two masters, but guess what? You do have to serve one, and it ought to be Jesus Christ. You can't just tip your hat to Jesus. You must bow the knee to Jesus. If Christ is worth anything, he's worth everything. That's why he needs to fill our preaching. Everybody needs a hero, and I'm proud to say Jesus is mine. And I want to say today to all other religions of the world, it doesn't matter what you might be right about. If you're wrong about Jesus, then you're just wrong. We need to make sure we've got the right perspective on Jesus. Well, the word gospel means good news. And Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the gospel. The gospels aren't of four guys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the gospel of Jesus. Our text today indicates that it's all about him. Matthew begins with Jesus in human form, but today I want us to look back even further than that. We need to see Jesus from the very beginning, though there was no beginning for him. And so our title, Jesus Before There Was Time. John 1, beginning in verse 1, is on the screen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not talking about the written Word now, talking about the living Word. His name is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. John 1:14, a few verses later, says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." But Jesus laid aside his glory. He didn't lay aside his deity when he came to the earth, but he did lay aside his glory, the glorious form that he had in heaven. The privileges of his deity he laid aside to become the God-man for us. Number one on the back of your bulletin today is the glory. If we're going to look at Jesus Christ before there was time, we need to see some things about him before we read about him. Number one is the glory. John said that he, John, beheld his glory. Well, when was that? When was it that John beheld the glory of Jesus? That was at the Transfiguration. Jesus himself said that he laid aside his glory, however. John 17:5 says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee." Do we have this verse, John 17:5? I might not have given you this one. But here's the verse. It says, "The glory that I had with thee before the world was." Jesus had a particular glory And it was before there was time. Here at the beginning, to the one who has no beginning, before time even existed, we find Jesus, and the word that comes to mind is glory. Glory. It's the answer to any questions that we may have. For instance, ask the question, who is Jesus? The answer is, he is glory. Where was Jesus before there was time? In glory. What was he like? Well, he was glorious. What does glory look like? What is glory like? We would die if we saw it in our unprotected human form. Yet God gives us a glimpse, a portrait. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God," where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus is glory, and he was before the world even began. Hebrews 1:3 on the screen, "Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." He's glorious, folks. And he shares his glory with the Father and with someone else. John 17:22. Look, John 17:22 says, "The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Who else will Jesus share his glory with? Well, not us in the sense of letting us have the glory for anything, but he shares his glory with us. So, number one is the glory. Jesus, before there was time, glory is a word to think about. Number two, consider with me the love. The love. John 17:24 says, Jesus said, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me." When? Look at the bottom of the verse. Before the foundation of the world, before there was time. We find in this verse the love and the glory both right here together. Love existed before time as well, and God is love, and John 3:16 shows how God loves us. Though we are sinners, he sent his glory our way. Don't you love Jesus today? Love is eternal. Love has always been. Love always will be. It wasn't invented by us humans. It existed before there was time in the face of Jesus Christ. The love, the glory. Number three, the grace. The grace. 2 Timothy 1:9, talking of Jesus, says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose," and what? "And grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus." When again? Before the world began. The Bible actually has a lot to say about Jesus before the world, before there was time. The grace we find here. Jesus has always been the embodiment of grace. His grace has always existed because he's always been gracious and graceful. All who are saved by his grace. We can be proud of the name of our church, for it's by God's grace that we can be a part of it. Can I have an amen this morning? The grace, it existed before the world began. Number four is the wisdom. The wisdom. As we consider Jesus Christ before there was time, before the world began, we find wisdom. Only God could conceive of the wonderful plan to share his glory through love and through grace. God in his wisdom had this way to share his love with us, his glory and his grace. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7 says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained," say it with me, "before the world unto our glory." There it is once again, folks. Before there was time, we find Jesus Christ. And we find wisdom. Proverbs, of course, is the book of wisdom. And the book of Proverbs makes it clear that Jesus was there in the beginning, even at creation, that our glorious, loving, graceful Savior is forever the embodiment of wisdom. Proverbs 3:19 is a good verse. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens. There's creation right there in His wisdom. Proverbs 8:22 says, the Lord possessed me, that is wisdom, in the beginning of His way. In the beginning, before His works of old. Isn't this amazing this morning? Just amazing. Number five, consider with me the promise. The promise. Titus 1 and verse 2 is on the screen. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised when? Before the world began. Are you listening this morning? Look at that, at the end of the verse. He promised to us before the world began eternal life. Some people think, I've even heard some preach, that God created earth to be paradise, but then man messed up, foiled God's plan. Oops, what am I going to do now? I need to come up with a plan. Oh, how about the promise of eternal life? No, look at the verse. The hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. This kind of goes with His wisdom too, doesn't it? This promise here. Jesus is the promised one. Jesus keeps His promises. And as surely as my name is Shirley, and as surely as God kept His promise about Jesus coming to the earth, He will keep His promise about His second coming and the end of the world. As surely as His promises about heaven are true, His promises are true about the place called hell. And He has promised to save you if you will let Him do just that. You ever thought about it, how many people scoffed and didn't believe Jesus' first coming was true? Many scoffed before He came and said that it wouldn't happen, that He wouldn't come. Many scoffed when He did come and say, this isn't really the Messiah. Many still deny it to today. But we know it's true, right? The first coming. Most of the world, at least today, accepts now His first coming. It is a proven historical fact, after all. We know Him to be the Messiah. And as surely as He kept that promise about His first coming, He will keep His promise about His second coming. And it could be any day, folks. It could be any day. Signs are all around us, aren't they? Every week there's something, and I shared with my Sunday school class this morning just one of two interesting tidbits that came out this week. Can't put any hard stock in this, but for what it's worth, have you noticed with the oil spill down in the Gulf what happens when they put this additive on it that is supposed to keep it contained and to try to keep it from reaching the shore? Have you noticed what happens to the oil? Have you noticed that it turns red like blood, as blood? Have you noticed that it even congeals? And when they find globs of it, it's congealed like blood. Have you ever noticed that? I'm not saying that this is what Revelation is talking about, but Revelation does talk about a third of the oceans becoming as blood or like blood, and a third of the sea life dying. Imagine if there was great earthquakes, which, by the way, the Bible predicts in the last days. And imagine if a lot of those great wells underneath were to let loose. Imagine that could be the way that it happens. Another interesting thing, just this week, geneticists revealing that they have created some new forms of life, and it's partially believable. It's not really new life, but I'll share with you the details at another time because it's a little bit complicated, but to put it in a nutshell for you, they're combining different DNA strands of different animals and things like that and coming up with some really hideous creatures that are living for a time at least. And I'm sure you'll see something about it on the news fairly soon. This is pretty cutting-edge prophecy, but Revelation also talks about some strange kind of beasts, and we've always thought them to be supernatural in nature, and they may be, but they may not. They may not. Signs of the times are all around us. Even if those things hadn't happened this week, there's what happened last week, and there's what will happen this week. It's just all around us, folks. And as surely as He kept His promise about His first coming, He will keep His promise about His second coming, and don't be surprised if it's very, very soon. Number six, the Lamb. As we consider Jesus before the foundation of the world, before there was time, Revelation 13 points out about the Lamb. Look at it, verse 8 on the screen. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." Remember that promise that existed before man even sinned? The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, from before the very beginning. There you've got it right there. God had a plan. God had a Lamb. Number seven, most importantly, is the choice. The choice. Ephesians 1:4 says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame." Are you seeing this on the screen this morning? If you're saved today, would you say amen? Amen. It's only because you were chosen. It's only because God loved you and chose you. Now, careful. He would choose to save everyone. Yes. But the only reason that you even had the option of choosing Him is because He first chose you and called you. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame. Before Him in love. Whom has God chosen? Well, there's a lot of good people who disagree on this point. Okay? The whole discussion of predestination comes in. And the way to understand predestination, I believe, is not that certain ones were predestined to be saved, but that in God, in His foreknowledge, knows in advance who is going to choose to accept His salvation. And so in that way, people have been predestined. But guess who doesn't know who's predestined? Me? You? None of us know. That's why we're supposed to take the gospel to the whole world. But God in His foreknowledge knows that many will not. The Bible says that the straight is the way, narrow is the way, few there be that find eternal life, but broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. God knows it. But there is a choice. There is a choice. And Christ made the choice before the foundation of the world to choose us, to choose humankind, and those who would choose Him. So, whom has God chosen? Only the saved? No, I don't like that. He chose to share His glory with all who would receive it. Finish the verse for me. God so loved what? The world. It's by grace that any can be saved. But in His wisdom, He had the foreknowledge from the very beginning which among us would choose Him. We have the choice to claim His promise. We have the choice to accept the sacrificial blood of the Lamb. We have the choice. But it's awesome to think that God knew me and you before there was time. Isn't that awesome to think? He knew us and chose us before there was time. And He cares enough about all the details, including the choices that we would make. From our perspective, our choices haven't been made yet. We all have a free will and a clean slate ahead of us, and that is the way that we should live our life. But God knows. And God chose. But I like to add the balance today, that when it comes to who gets saved, God didn't say, "Eeny, meeny, miny, mo." He didn't say, "Oh, I like these people. No, I don't like these ones." 2 Peter 3:9 on the screen says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That means if you end up in hell, you'll end up there against God's will. He does not want you there. He did not choose for you to go there. He just knew that you would choose that. But you still have a choice. It's not predestined to the extent that you can't choose Him. But if you don't choose Him, that will have been predestined. Am I confusing you today? Because I'm a little confused. as I think about God and His awesome salvation. Can't totally take it in. And as we said Wednesday night, if we could totally understand God, why should He be your God? You know? He's bigger than we can take in. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever believeth on Him can have eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. J. Vernon McGee said, in the end, there'll be the whosoever wills and the whosoever won'ts. But you have a choice which group that you will be in. Anyone can be saved. The Bible talks about the chosen. Who are the chosen? All who choose Him. The Bible talks about the elect. Who are the elect? All who elect to accept His gift of salvation. Everything preached so far today is what we know about Christ before there was time. What the Bible tells us about Jesus before there was time. Let's review it really quickly here. We've seen His glory in eternity past, and His love in eternity past, His grace before there was a world, His wisdom founding the earth, His promise, the Lamb made before there was even a need for the promise or the Lamb. And we find now the choice today. Everything preached so far is what we know about Christ before there was time, but then He created time. And He created all that is. And as someone pointed out also in our Wednesday night Bible study, the Bible says that if everything that Jesus did were written down, the world could not contain the books which should be written, the things that are worthy of. But look, we've already been moved to a place of worship considering Jesus before there was time. That's my Savior. He's my hero. How about yours? A few more verses that I'd like to share. A few more facts now. He laid the foundation for all that is. Jesus laid the foundation for all that is. Hebrews 1:10 on the screen. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Raise your hand today if you believe that you came from monkeys. Supposedly you are an idiot if you don't believe that. You know? Supposedly we're all just idiots to actually believe. I read this week someone talking about Genesis. They said, yeah, Genesis. What a great book that tells us that everything came into existence in 6 days. And there was a worldwide flood. And just mocking the way that we know that it actually happened. It's part of the devil's plan. Undercutting the belief in creation and the Creator. But Hebrews 1:10 says, Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of Thy hands. Nothing was made without Him, folks. Nothing was made without Him. John 1:3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. By Him, God made everything. Hebrews 1:2 says that Jesus, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Look at the end of the verse. By whom also He made the worlds. By Jesus. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Elohim. Jesus. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All was created by Him and for Him, according to Colossians 1, beginning in verse 16. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by Him. And guess what? For Him. And if they're created for Him, even sin could not tarnish that enough. They're all coming back to Him in a redeemed form. Because it's created for Him. End of the verse, He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, He created all things. Ephesians 3:9 tells us that. The mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:6. To us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him. I'm thankful for that. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. He is the beginning of the creation. Now I like this. He is the beginning. He is the Alpha. And what else is He? He is the Omega. It's all about Him, isn't it? Revelation 3:14 says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness." It's the Alpha and the Omega, folks. The beginning of the creation of God. It's true, friends. The baby who was born in the manger wasn't the beginning. It was just the next chapter of Him who is timeless. Jesus Christ. He was killed at the hands of sinful mankind. And the devil might have rubbed his hands together and say, "Oh, good, I defeated him." It looked like the end as He hung there dead on the cross, didn't it? But there is no end to Him who is the beginning. That wasn't the end. That was just the next chapter. And you know what happened on the third day, don't you? But even that, new life coming from that tomb, is only the beginning. The beginning of the possibility for salvation for you and me. But just a few moments ago, we talked about this horrible end that's coming to this world. It's not really the end. It's just the next chapter. It's only the beginning. Hallelujah. He who is the beginning and the end. For those of us who believe in Him, there will be no end. No end. Even at the very close of God's Word, it's not the end. It's only the beginning. Think about eternity in heaven. Think about how old this earth is. The Bible indicates about 6,000 years old. But let's say it was even like the evolutionist said, and millions and billions of years old. What would that be compared to eternity, you know? And I guarantee you the 6,000 literal years are nothing compared to the eternity that waits us. Life is but for a moment. It's like a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word, it's a written Word, it's a living Word, Jesus Christ, who's always existed, the Word abideth forever. Can I have an amen this morning? With heads bowed and eyes closed. It truly is. Is it not truly a worship experience just to talk about Jesus? Just to think about Him? I love to talk about His birth. At Christmas time or any time, it's a powerful, wonderful story, and we can never tell it all sufficiently, and it speaks volumes to us. I love to study the only story we know about His childhood there in the end of Luke 2, how Jesus stayed behind in the temple with the masters and the doctors there. And Luke 2:52 says that He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He grew physically and emotionally, psychologically and socially and spiritually. I love the ministry of Jesus Christ once He was 30 and began His official earthly ministry. And truly, the world cannot contain all the books which should be written. I love the story of Jesus and how He died on that cross, and how He rose from the dead, and His teachings for 40 days thereafter. And the inspired words that He gave to the early church 50 days after that, at Pentecost, through the epistles that we're studying Wednesday nights. I love the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and others in the Old Testament that tie in the prophecies of the end. They're all stories about Jesus. But it's amazing to me today that we don't have to talk about any of that. The topic of Jesus Christ is so powerful that it speaks volumes to us just to consider who He is before there was time and who He will be to us when time is no more. If you're like me and this is a worship experience, it moves you to worship, you can come use the altar today. But before we do that, Jesus wants to save somebody here today. He died for you. He rose for you. He lives for you and wants you to live forever in heaven with Him. He created you and all that is. He created you for Him. And He has chosen, if it's up to Him, it's His will that you be saved. He has chosen to save you if you will choose to let Him. If you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved, would you choose to let Him save you? Even though we're sinners, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He wants to forgive us of our sins and take us to heaven when we die, and He will save you today. That's why with heads bowed and eyes closed, we're making this a private moment between you and God. If you're not sure if you're saved today, but you'd like to make sure, we won't point you out, we won't come to you, we won't embarrass you in any way, but I promise I will pray for you. If you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved, but you'd like to know, you'd like to choose Jesus who has chosen you, would you raise your hand? I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I'd like to know more about it. Would you raise your hand today all across the room? If you'd like to know more about it, we'll pray for you, okay? You're just admitting it before God. Just slip your hand up and back down. Yes, I see that hand. What a great move to make. Somebody else? I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I'd like to know more about it. Here's my hand. Pray for me too. I'm glad I heard these things. Yes, another one. You may put your hand down. That's a smart decision. Such a smart decision. There's been a couple. Is there somebody else who needs to say, hey, include me in that prayer? Yes. Yes, I see a third hand. Include me in this prayer. We'll pray for you too. And here's what we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that you'll choose Jesus. Choose to let Him save you because He loves you. I know it's so powerful to consider that He loved you before you even existed. He knew who you would be and where you would live, the sins you would do that He would need to save you from. And before you were even born, He wanted to share His glory and His love with you and His grace. And so He had the plan in time immemorial, to be the Lamb for you, slain on the cross for you, to give you the promise of eternal life. We've had at least three indicate that they need to be saved. And let's pray for them, church, shall we? Let's pray for them that they get saved and that they do it today, because we don't know how soon the end may come in this world. None of us know that we have even another day. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So, let's pray for these that need to be saved. And Christian, if you're thankful for your salvation, and if you just worship the one who is eternal, Jesus Christ, you can lead the way to this altar and worship Him right here at the old-fashioned altar. And you can pray for some who need to be saved that we're going to pray for right now. Lord, I pray for these three who've admitted before You that they're not sure if they're saved and they want to know more about it. I pray that You would convict their hearts, draw them to You, Lord, by Your Spirit. You've chosen to save them. I pray that they would choose to let You save them today. Thank You, Jesus, for who You are, for what You've done, and for what You're going to do right now. We believe by faith in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, some Christians are already finding their way to the altar, and you may if you like. Listen, you raised your hand a moment ago that you want to know more about being saved, privately, we want to help you get saved today. Privately. We won't embarrass you. But you've made a good decision, and you need to follow through with it. And come here in a moment. In just a minute, the piano is going to start playing a song. We're going to stand quietly in our seats. And you can come. Meet me here at the front. Let me know that you want to know more about being saved. And I'll pair you up with a counselor who will take a Bible. They'll take you out to a private room and show you from the Bible how you can be saved today. You can get saved today. It's your choice. It's not about what anybody else thinks. It's your choice. And so I hope, and we've just prayed, that you will come as soon as the music begins to play and as soon as we stand to our feet, come down here and let us privately show you how you can be saved. We just prayed. Let's stand quietly and reverently as the piano begins to play. You come meet me here at the front. And Christians, you come for your own worship experience right now. And thank God for saving you before there was time. If you want to be saved, just ask the person next to you to let you by or maybe even come with you. You can get saved today. Right? If you want to know more about being saved, come meet us here. Are you praying, church? Somebody must be. We've had a couple come who didn't even raise their hand, but they need to know more about being saved and want to get saved today. How about you? You raised your hand a minute ago. Would you come and let us deal with you? Everyone's heads are bowed, their eyes are closed, but God is watching to see if you will let Him save you. Will you choose Him? He's already chosen you. Will you choose Him in return? Ask that person next to you to come with you. We want to help. We want to help you. We love you because Jesus loves you. And so we're going to have another verse or two. And if you need to be saved, you come. Some have come. Some have indicated that they need to, and God give them the courage to do it. To do it now and get saved today. Now, if you've been saved but need to be baptized or want to join the church, you come on this verse now. However God would lead you. It's not too late to come and be saved if you want to. It could be too late soon. But right now, Jesus has chosen to offer you the gift. Will you choose to accept it? Have one last verse now. You may be seated. And come on up here, guys. Everybody knows Gary, but little sister Kim, Kimmy, he calls her. You like Kim? Kim. She prefers Kim to Kimmy. Is coming to make a public decision today. Now, first of all, I've just got to say, it doesn't always happen this way with siblings, that only one gets both the beauty and the brains. But it did happen that way in this case. Right? No.
And I look up.
Kim, did you ask Jesus to save you, and do you want to be baptized and live your life for Him? She wants to become a member of the church through this as well, and all of God's people said,
amen.
That's wonderful, isn't it? And we'll do that next Sunday, if that's okay. We'll baptize. That's an ordinance of the church. We will have communion next Sunday morning, right here, the other ordinance of the church. And it's Memorial Day weekend, so that'll be good. It's all good. You guys can take a seat right now, but we'll want you to let people come by and shake your hand here in a little bit at the back. So, Gary, you know the routine there, right? You can stand by Miss Kimberly. What's that? Instant like that. I've got more if you got time. Okay. All righty. And let's pray for at least a couple that are out being dealt with right now. And if you are interested in knowing more about being saved and want to talk to us privately afterward, that's good. Talk to someone else during the week. Give us a call, and we'd love to help you any way that we can. This afternoon, out at Fairview Park, number 2, you can come as early as 3 if you want to participate in the softball game that we're having. We've got the field there right beside Pavilion number 2 reserved. Bring a glove, bring extra glove, even if you're not playing, for somebody else who may need one. And that's 3 o'clock this afternoon, okay? Other games that will be set up at that time for kids and others, just the shade there. Pavilion number 2 is the air-conditioned one, if you consider sideless buildings air-conditioned. Hopefully there'll be a breeze move through there. And you can come any time that you want, but a lot of the stuff will be happening right at 3 o'clock. 5 o'clock is when we're wanting food to be there by to eat at that time or soon thereafter or throughout the evening. A service at 6, if all you're interested in is just coming and having the service, then come right there at 6. Stay as long as you want later on. We've got it all day, all reserved. Yes, ma'am.
Is